There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tesla reports strong earnings, but some investors are uneasy about the state of the business.
What we now have is a company that really, in many ways, is heading into a period of economic uncertainty on relatively strong footing, but it doesn't look as invincible as it did, you know, a year or two ago.
And the U.S. and its allies reach a deal on sending tanks to Ukraine, but it could take a while to get them there. Plus, some teachers call it cheat GPT, why others are embracing it. It's Wednesday, January 25th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The U.S. formally announced it's sending 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine. Our D.C. audio reporter Daniela Cheslow says the announcement ends days of intense diplomacy between the U.S. and Germany.
President Biden said from the White House today that the U.S. tanks will help Ukrainians defend their territory and prepare for additional counteroffensives.
The United States has worked in lockstep with our allies and partners around the world to make sure the Ukrainian people are in the strongest possible position to defend their nation, their families, and against the truly brutal aggression of Russia.
Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz had said he would send tanks to Ukraine only if the U.S. pledged its tanks first. It was a rare sign of discord in the alliance that's backed Ukraine for the past 11 months. Earlier today, Germany said it would send Ukraine 2 battalions of its Leopard 2 battle tanks. U.S. officials say it could take months for the Abrams tanks to arrive. Jeffrey Edmonds at the Center for Naval Analyses was a tank platoon leader, and he says Ukrainian forces will need a lot of training to operate the Abrams.
It's a very complicated piece of equipment. Its engine is different than other tanks. It's a very complex gunner sight. The fire control computer, all of that is very difficult to maintain. And it's not just training them how to move and shoot, but also training them on maintenance.
Still, he says the Ukrainians could use the tanks to break through Russian battle lines. For The Wall Street Journal, I'm Daniela Cheslow.
Two lawsuits filed in federal courts today are challenging the ability of states to restrict access to FDA-approved abortion pills. In North Carolina, an obstetrician-gynecologist argues the state can't limit patients' access to the drug known as mifepristone beyond what federal health regulators designate. And in West Virginia, a company that makes a generic form of the pill says the state's ban on the drug is unconstitutional. Our reporter Liz Esley White says the cases pit the FDA's authority against that of states.
Legal experts have said for months now that the FDA's power to regulate drugs would become part of this big legal battle over abortion, and we're seeing that play out now. We're going to see both sides argue in court fiercely over the legal question of whether the FDA's power to regulate drugs trumps states' power to regulate the practice of medicine and protect the health of citizens.
Earlier this month, the FDA moved to expand access to the pill, allowing brick-and-mortar and some mail-order pharmacies to dispense it. Most abortions in the U.S. are now performed using the pill, according to the Guttmacher Institute, a nonprofit that supports abortion rights. In business news, despite signs of weakening demand, Tesla has posted record quarterly profit. After the bell today, the company reported fourth quarter earnings of nearly $3.7 billion, up 59% from a year earlier. But that was below what investors had expected, and it comes amid some uneasiness on Wall Street over the company's growth plans. We'll talk more about the state of Tesla's business in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, some news about another one of Elon Musk's business ventures, Twitter. We report exclusively that he's now exploring up to $3 billion worth of fundraising to help repay $13 billion in loan debt backing his buyout of the company. That's according to people familiar with the matter who say Musk's representatives discussed selling new Twitter shares back in December. That could help Twitter's finances as it struggles to maintain advertisers. Musk had said in November that the company was losing over $4 million a day and that a bankruptcy filing was possible. But after cutting about 6,000 jobs, Musk later said he expects Twitter to be roughly cash flow break-even in 2023. Facebook parent Meta says it's reinstating the account of former President Donald Trump. Trump had been suspended from the platform after the company determined he had praised violence committed by his supporters in the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Meta said of the reinstatement, quote, "The public should be able to hear what politicians are saying so they can make informed choices." Twitter, which had also suspended Trump's personal account, reinstated it last year. And another journal scoop, e-cigarette maker Juul is in early-stage talks with three tobacco companies as it explores a potential sale, strategic investment, licensing, or distribution deal. People familiar with the matter say Juul has had separate discussions with Philip Morris, Japan Tobacco, and Altria in recent weeks. Juul was close to bankruptcy last year, and it's fighting with federal regulators over whether its products can remain on the U.S. market. Coming up, Tesla, Twitter, and Elon Musk. More on the challenges facing all of them after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Earlier in the show, we talked about the latest updates on Tesla's and Twitter's finances. At the helm of both companies, of course, is Elon Musk, who's faced criticism from some Tesla investors for spending too much time on Twitter, which he bought back in October. He's also been testifying this week in a trial over tweets he made in 2018 about taking Tesla private, which he never did. But some investors say the statements cost them billions of dollars. So what's at stake here for Musk and his businesses? Joining me now to sort through all of this is our reporter, Rebecca Elliott. Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So let's start by talking about Tesla's business and sort of the trajectory we've seen over the past couple of years. What can you tell us about the state of that and how it's changed?
I think to talk about Tesla's business, we first need to talk about expectations. This is a company that was valued at more than $1.2 trillion not so long ago, with really high expectations for its growth. And so what we've seen over the past few months is cracks in that facade. Signs of slowing demand, weakening brand image in the weeks and months after Elon Musk bought Twitter last year, a missed annual growth target. And so as that all has happened, we've seen investors get jittery. The stock has come down. It had its worst year on record last year, falling 65%. And so what we now have is a company that really, in many ways, is heading into a period of economic uncertainty on relatively strong footing with a large slice of the EV market, cash reserves, high operating margins by industry standards. But it doesn't look as invincible as it did, you know, a year or two ago.
And meanwhile, Musk has been on trial in San Francisco after being sued by investors who say they lost money due to his tweets back in 2018 about taking Tesla private, which of course did not happen. Musk himself has been on the stand in the past couple of days. Rebecca, what has stood out to you about his testimony so far?
He talked about his motivations for sending the tweets, saying that he wanted to inform shareholders. He believed that funding would not be an issue. Of course, he said at the time, funding secured. And he also talked about his belief that if push came to shove, he could have relied on his stake in SpaceX to get a deal across the line. And he referenced what he did with Twitter, actually, talking about how he sold Tesla stock to bring that deal together in the end to provide the financing. And that all really speaks to some of the key issues that jurors are going to have to decide in this case. It's an interesting one because the judge in the case has actually already decided a few key points. He's said that certain of Musk's statements were untrue and that he acted recklessly in making them. So jurors are going to have to decide whether they really can connect the dots between what Musk said and what happened in the market, what happened to investors. So were these tweets material to investors, material to their decision making? And also, did Musk know at the time that they were untrue?
Rebecca, what could a ruling against him mean not only for Tesla, but for Twitter as well? You've acknowledged, of course, that he owns and has a stake in many different companies. What could a verdict not in his favor mean?
This is a case that Musk has indicated means a great deal to him personally. The questions for the jury are really pretty complicated, and they have to, if they do find for the plaintiff on one or more issues, allocate damages or fault essentially between various parties. It's not just Musk who's being sued here, it's Tesla and the company's board members at the time as well. You know, I have a hard time believing that this case, no matter the outcome, wouldn't end up, you know, getting tied up in appeal. So at this point, I think it's hard to say what, if any, impact there might be for Twitter, for example.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Elliott. Rebecca, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, the AI bot ChatGPT can quickly spit out well-written essays and research papers in human-sounding prose. Naturally, this is raising alarms among teachers and school administrators who fear a wave of plagiarism. And not without reason. According to CopyLeaks, a company that sells plagiarism detectors, a sampling of recent papers from all grade levels around the world revealed that 10% had used ChatGPT. Schools in New York and Los Angeles have already blocked the bot on school networks. Others are turning to old-fashioned blue books or programs that can detect AI-produced writing. But our higher education reporter Doug Belkin says some professors are embracing ChatGPT and see it as an educational tool for students.
This takes away the fear of having to look at a blank page and come up with an original draft of anything. You can just ask this chat to do it for you, but it's not going to be on point. One of the professors I spoke to said you can ask this to create a statue like David, but the head's going to be too big and the legs will be too small. So it's up to the user to figure out their proportions and to analyze it and critique it and bring it along, somewhat like an editor. So the cognitive demands of education are shifting. And I think ultimately the bar is rising for what is going to be necessary to excel in school and later on in the workplace.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.